We worship and serve you, Lord Jesus, the risen, living Saviour. We bless you, Lord, that we can come to you anywhere and everywhere, Lord, in our times of need and our times of joy. To come to you, Lord, to worship and praise your holy name for what you are, who you are, and what you've done for us, Lord. And thank you, Jesus, as we come to look at this part of the Bible, speaking about your resurrection, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're alive to make it life to us, Lord. Grant us your blessing and help us to see and understand, Lord, that you're not in the pages of a book anymore, Lord. You're the living, risen Lord as you come to dwell in our hearts. We praise your holy name and give you thanks. Father God, for your Son, our Saviour Jesus. Amen. What happened is what we're going to look at this morning, what the Bible, some of the part of the Bible. We're looking at Luke's Gospel. Luke gives us a very condensed version. You need all the other Gospels to pull all of the details together. But we're looking at Luke's condensed account in chapter 24, and it's these first 12 verses. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Then, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Well, we're going to try and answer that question, aren't we? A little bit. What happened all that long time ago? So let's have a look at the details. First of all, on the first day of the week, it says, very early in the morning. Well, I don't know if you are aware of this, aren't you? Sunday begins on Saturday evening. Hebrew time, it is. Because they measure the days evening and morning. Right, so the first day of the week started on Saturday night. So Jesus rose sometime in the Saturday night, Sunday morning period. Yeah? So Sunday begins on Saturday evening. Right, next set, please. It was a full moon, by the way. So just to say that. The women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. I've got a series of questions perhaps you'd like to think about, yeah? Why did they go if they knew the tomb was sealed? Well, they did know the tomb was sealed. Yes, they were there when they saw it all happen, you know? Jesus buried in the tomb, the guard was posted, the tomb is sealed, the stone's rolled in front of it. Why did they go? Why do people do strange things? Well, they were sorry, they were grief-stricken, they were heartbroken at the loss of Jesus. But people can do some strange things when they're upset, you know. Perhaps they were sort of wondering, well, maybe we can get the soldiers to move it back or something like that, I don't know. But there was something made them go. It was the Lord that made them go, but it seems a bit of a strange errand to go on, doesn't it? To take the spices. Why were they taking spices? The spices were there in order to finish off the burial preparations. It was a rushed thing that had happened on the Friday afternoon, and so they wanted to do give Jesus a decent burial. That's really what they're thinking about.
So they got under the tomb to go in there.
They need to get in the tomb to do that, yes. Yeah. Okay, next slide, please. They found the stone, can you see that? They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Yes, the stone's been moved. Well, what happened to the guards? Luke doesn't tell us. Matthew tells us that one. The guards did a runner.
Bless you.
Yes. Right. Okay. The guards fled because angels appeared and scared them to death. Usual thing with angels. The guards did a runner, and the angel not only frightened off the guards, but he did something else. He moved the stone. Right? The stone needed moving. Not to let Jesus out, but to let people in. Right? Okay, so that's what happened to the guards. They did a runner. Next one, please. Right? But when the ladies, when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Wow. What must they have thought? They must have thought something strange has happened here. The last thing in their mind was, Jesus is risen.
Yeah.
They didn't think that whatsoever. Right? They must have thought every other possible permutation. You know, somebody's stolen the body.
Yeah.
That's what's happened. Someone's stolen the body. That must be in their minds, I guess. Right, so, next then, please. Right. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Well, there we are. Why does Luke call them men? Because they look like men. But they didn't look like men, did they? I mean, when did you last see someone wearing clothes that gleamed like lightning? Yeah? I know we get personal washers brighter, but I mean, this is serious, yeah? Yes? So, it's their angels, of course. Yeah? But the thing that I find remarkable about all of this is, there are the ladies in the tomb, in effectively a slightly dark place, wondering what on earth has happened when all of a sudden two men appear. What's that tell you about the world and the supernatural? They're running together, but they're not always immediately obvious. Angels were there, but they couldn't see them, and then they reappear. Right? There's more to this world than meets the eye, brothers and sisters. Yeah? Angels have a funny way of popping up and down, you know. You never know quite when you're going to meet one, I guess. So, there they are, and in gleaming white. That gives you the impression that these are not just ordinary creatures, yeah? Right, next please then. Here we have a little picture. No, we don't, yeah. Next, the one after this is a picture. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. Yes. What is the usual response when angels appear?
Fear.
Fear. Fear. Yes, there's something awesome about their presence. Yes, fear. And so they're down on the floor with their faces to the ground. It's reverence. They realise they're in the presence of some very powerful creatures. Yeah. Right, next one, please. So there they are. But the men said to them, right, isn't it interesting? Where angels do jobs in the life of Jesus, you know, they had angels at the beginning, didn't they? Remember the announcement to the shepherds, the announcement to Mary and Joseph? Angels get the job of telling people about Jesus, it would seem. And they've got the job here. They come to report to these ladies about what's happened. So the angels have got a message. Right? When the ladies have sort of recovered their cool a little bit, they can tell them the message. Next one, please. So first bit is, why do you look for the living among the dead? Right. Where do you look for the dead? In the graveyard, right? In the tomb. That's where the dead live. Well, they don't live there, do they? The dead are dead there. Yes? Okay? That's where you find them. And they said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Must have seemed a bit of a puzzle to them, I guess. Yeah? Bit of a cryptic one. But basically what they're saying is, you're looking in the wrong place. It's the wrong place to come if you want to find this Jesus, you know. So the next one says, right, he has risen. Wow. I think the angels must have really enjoyed that little line. You know, he has risen. Of course he's risen. He's Jesus. He's risen. Because he's God's son. You can't keep Jesus down. Right? There's a lovely phrase in one of Peter's sermons. It says he was speaking to the people. You turned him in. You handed him over to the Romans. It says, and they crucified him and buried him. And then he uses this line, but it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Absolutely. He has risen. He is not here. Praise the Lord for that. Do you know, Christianity is the only faith where we don't have a dead leader. Yeah? He's alive.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. You can go to the tombs of all the rest of them, but you can't find Jesus in his, because he's not there. Right. Now then, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. So, it's a bit of a gentle rebuke in a way. You should have known, shouldn't you, ladies? You should have known. He told you. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? Well, there's an interesting thing, yeah? Let's take us back to the time when Jesus told them. I put this in. What someone says isn't always what someone else hears. That's true. People may make comments, yeah? And they may not be malicious or unkind, but when you're feeling a bit sensitive, you take it to heart. Or they may say nice things and they don't mean them. Yeah? That's how it gets, you don't know. But what people hear and what you've said isn't always the same thing. And that was true when Jesus said, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise from the dead in 3 days' time. They never heard the last bit. Well, they heard it, but it never quite got there, did it? But it was in their minds, because they hadn't forgotten it. Because the next line is, then they remembered. Yeah. They hadn't forgotten it, but it didn't make sense to them. That's the thing. Now, there's good news about that, brothers and sisters. I encourage you to read your Bibles. Right? Because even if you don't understand what it's about, you've read it. Right? And you know, the Holy Spirit can say to you, do you know what that was about? At the moment you need it. Right? You know what that was about? That's what it's talking about, yeah? So, Jesus had planted the word in them, but it took a while for the word to spring to life, yeah? So, keep reading, folks. That's the way it goes, right? Had they forgotten? Well, yes. But no, it was there, but it wasn't in the forefront of their minds. Next slide, please. He said, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. That's what Jesus had told them. Yeah. That's what the angels repeated the words of Jesus. And the pictures are a bit dark there, but he was arrested, crucified, and he rose again. And they say, the Son of Man. They're using the name that Jesus applies to himself, the Messiah. Right? And he must be. What's it? Why is he must be? Why must he be? Because he's in the plan. God has got the plan that Jesus is coming to die for your sins. It's in the plan. That's why he had to do it. Yet Jesus, when he was praying, Father, if it's possible, take this from me. But not what I want, what you want, your will. Because the Father's will was that Jesus, his Son, should give his life as a ransom for your sins and mine. Right? He had to do that. There was no other way. There is no other Saviour. Somebody may offer you a fixed, easy salvation. It isn't possible. God had to deal with your sin. And he had to deal with his anger against sin. So his anger against sin was burnt out on Jesus. And if it isn't on Jesus, it's on you, and you're going to face the burning. Forever. So, Son of Man must be handed over, crucified, and on the third day raised again. Praise the Lord for that. Next slide, please. Then they remembered his words, the light bulb moment. Yeah. Ah! Got it! Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. Suddenly, it makes sense, right? And I'm not being hard on the ladies, it's a fact. I mean, they were facing the impossible. Dead people don't rise normally. Mind you, they have seen Jesus doing it a few times, haven't they? But doing it for somebody else and happening to him may be different. I don't know how they thought. But this moment, he says, the words had been in there all the time, but all of a sudden, it comes to light. At last, the light bulb moment. They've got it. They remembered his words. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah? Right then, next one, please. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. Now they call the 11, not the 12 anymore, because Judas is gone. Yeah? Right? But the thing I want to point out is, the ladies came back and reported these things to the 11 and all the others. Who are all the others?
All of us.
You're the disciples. Yes. They weren't just these 11 disciples. There were others that had aligned themselves to be followers of Jesus. So there's a little group of them. And in fact, on the day of Pentecost, we read there was 120 in the same group.
Sent out 72, didn't
he? Well, Jesus sent out 72 as well, yes, that's true, yes. So there were others besides, yes, and they're all there in their place, hiding really from the authorities. They were a bit scared. They didn't want to be found out. And these ladies come back with this startling news of what the angels have told them. fantastic, eh? So next one, please. Right. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. So Luke is gathering all the names together, you know, different people, and he gives them their names. They're all witnesses, but we've got named witnesses, you know. You can go and ask that individual, were you there? Did you see it? And they would say, yes, that was me. I was there, right? So he's really laying before us. This is legal stuff, you know. In the presence of two or three witnesses, things can be established as the truth. So here are these ladies coming back with this amazing story. Isn't it, I'll just throw this out for you, but isn't it amazing that the Lord gave this message to the ladies? Isn't that good, eh? Right.
More rational.
Okay, more rational. All right, very good. Let's have a look at our next one, yes. Right. But they did not believe the women. Who are they?
Men.
The men. Yes, they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Why did the words seem to them like nonsense? Yes, I put that. Was it because such things don't happen? Well, that's possible, yes.
Excited.
Or was it because they were women that were saying it? I've got a funny feeling that might have been part of the mix. Right. In fact, we'll see that at the next time we look at Luke's Gospel, where the men walking along the Emmaus Road, where they say, it's three that we've heard reports that he's risen from the dead, but you know, says, some of our women told us. Brilliant, eh? Ladies, you're so patient with us. Yeah. Very important lesson in this, I think, as well is, it's this, yeah? Yeah? Maybe it's women are more spiritually tuned up than men are, but you know, they get it better to start with. Yeah. Once we've got it, we're all right, haven't we? Yeah. Right. So, they didn't believe them at first, right? Okay. Even when they told them. Isn't it hard? Do you find that when you're sharing the good news of Jesus with people? You know, you want them to get it. You want the light bulb moment there, that they're, you know, don't get it. Well, it's very frustrating, but there we are, such is the way, yeah? Trust the Lord will open the eyes. Next one, please. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. I put two people there, because Luke tells us Peter went, but the other Gospels tell us that somebody else went with him. And it was John. It was John. John, the younger one, ran faster and got there first. He waited outside the tomb. Peter, the older one, right later, probably breathing heavily, yeah, and he went straight in, because that's Peter, straight in, yeah, but he went in. So why did they set off running, it says? Peter, however, ran up, got up and ran to the tomb. Well, I think he's thinking, well, what's happened? What on earth's happened, yeah? He wants to find out for himself. I'm like that, you know, yeah, it happens at home. When my missus tells me she's done something, she's locked the doors, you know, and then I go and check the locked doors. It's not that I don't believe her, it's just how I like to feel it for myself, you know. Where it goes. They want to see for themselves, they want to be sure for themselves what on earth has happened, right? Right, so next one, please. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. That's what Peter saw. He saw the linen bandages that had been wrapped round the body of Jesus lying there, and he saw the bits folded up tidily as well, yeah? So, he sees these things, and he wonders what's going on. But if you read in John's Gospel, John saw these things, and it says, he believed. John got it, yeah? But Peter, he's wondering what else is happening. So, let's have a last one here, this one anyway. He went away, wondering to himself, what had happened? There's the tombs empty, like the women had said. The places, no body at all. It's all gone. No soldiers. What on earth has happened? And of course, the ladies have told him. The angel says he's risen. Well, Peter did have a meeting with Jesus personally a little later that day. But what happened? And I want us to think about just for a few moments what really happened that Easter morning. Yeah? What really happened? There's a lot was going on, as we'll see. Let's look at that first one, eh? Right. What had happened? Let's get the facts first. Well, the facts are that the guarded and secured tomb was empty. Fact. Yes? The guarded and secured tomb was empty. The body's gone missing. Right. Secondly, the angels appeared and told the women that Jesus had risen. Yeah? Do you believe the women? Did they believe they saw angels? Yes, they saw angels. Right? We've got their names. You can ask them. Right. The Gospels record several occasions when Jesus appeared to the disciples. We'll look at one more next time we look at Luke. Yeah? But there are several occasions where Jesus appears to the disciples. Right? Thirdly, fourthly, the authorities could not produce the body. If they could have brought a body out, say this is Jesus, they would have done it. Yes, squash the whole story before it got off the ground. They couldn't get the body because there wasn't the body to get. That's right. Right. And the disciples, and this is really one of the key things about the resurrection, there are other issues as well. There's books have been produced about evidence for the resurrection. Yeah. But this is one of the classic ones. The disciples and lived and died basing their lives on this event. Do you think they would become, most of the disciples became martyrs, I mean, you know that, yeah? Do you think they would have lived and died on the basis of what they knew to be a lie? Do it. No. They were totally convinced and changed by what they'd experienced. And that they met with the living, risen Jesus. So, those are the facts. Right now, let's have a look at our next one then. So, what happened? So, what does it mean, this thing? It means miracles do happen. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Miracles do happen. And I've written down there, God can operate outside his usual way of working. That's what a miracle is. The norm is how it goes normally. Yes? But when God chooses, God can do it differently. It's called a miracle. Yes? Because he is not bound by the physical laws that he's created. Yes? He's not bound by them. He is bound by his own moral status and nature. God cannot lie. Right? He can't change that, because he would be denying what he is. Yeah? But when it comes to saying that things always fall under gravity, yeah, God could say, not today, thank you very much. Changing that one. Right? He can change it. And if a dead body stays in the tomb, that's the norm. But when he brings one back to life, that's called a miracle. Right? And the important thing about this is, if you've got problems with miracles in the Bible, and you know, some people try to write the Bible and cut out all the miracles. Not a lot left, you know. Right? Because they don't believe in miracles. Right? Now, the problem for them is, they haven't come to terms with the resurrection. If you accept that the resurrection really happened, that's the biggest miracle of all. All the others are minor in comparison. Changing water into wine, nothing. Easy, easy peasy. If you can rise from the dead, you can change water into wine. Yeah? Making a blind man see. Easy peasy. Because if you can rise from the dead, you can do that. Yeah? So, all the other miracles fall into their place the moment you see that Jesus has risen from the dead. God does miracles. Miracles can happen, and they do happen. Praise the Lord. If you come to believe in Jesus, you're a miracle too. I hope you realize that. Yeah, it's true. You're a miracle. If you come to believe and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's a miracle. And if you knew yourself like you know yourself, you'd agree with me. It's a miracle. How on earth did I get to where I am today? I can tell you, it's not me. Got to be the Lord. Yes, it's a miracle. Next one, please. What does it mean? Jesus told the truth about his rising again. He told him. Remember the angel said, he told you. He was coming back. He told the truth. Right. And so, if you can believe him about that one, you can believe him about the rest of the things that he said. He says, those that come to me, I won't turn away. I'll forgive their sins. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest for your souls. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Yeah. Jesus says, I've got a place prepared for you. Do you believe it?
Yes.
But we haven't seen many of those things, have we? But if he said it, he means it. And he's good at keeping his word. He's trustworthy, reliable. So, the resurrection means that you can trust Jesus. Next one, please. I like this one. That's a great tombstone, isn't it? Right. Yes. But it tells us death has been defeated. Yes. There's more to living than just living in this world. Jesus shows us there's life beyond the tomb, and he's come back to show us that. Yes? And therefore, for us, death has not got the grip on us that it once would have had. Paul talks about that in his letters. He says, death, where is your sting? He's quoting the Old Testament, but he says, death, where's your sting? Grave's where your victory? We have the victory through Jesus. Right? So, we may all die if Jesus doesn't come back soon. Yes, we may all die. But that's not the end of you. Because we can say bye to death. Right? There's a famous writer, the Puritan writer called John Owen, and he wrote a sort of sermon type study. It's just a beautiful way of phrasing it. It says, the death of death in the death of Christ. Yeah. Eh? Yeah. The death of death in the death of Christ. Which is what we come to next, please. Next, please. Right. What does it mean? God accepted the offering of Jesus for sin. The price was paid in full. Jesus says, I'm going to pay the price for your sin. I'm going to take everything you've thought wrong and done wrong, the things that you're not even aware of. I'm going to pay the penalty for that, and that is death. Right? And I'm going to lay down my life in order that you can be forgiven. Well, how do we know that God accepted that? I mean, it might have just been some, superhero coming along saying, I'm going to do it for you. Right? And he gets himself killed. Right? Yeah? That's a superhero. There may be superheroes that do those things. How do we know that what Jesus did was accepted? Because he came back. Right? If he didn't come back, God would have said, no, don't want that one. Yeah. But he came back to show us that what he'd done was finished. When he said it's finished, he meant it was done. And he came back to show it that it was done. So the resurrection is God's stamp of approval. Paid in full. Guaranteed. Next slide, please. What does it mean? Jesus accomplished what his death set out to achieve. Why did he come to die in the first place? There's a little song I've taught the children at the school. Yeah. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek. It was to save he came. And when we call him Saviour, then we call him by his name. Yes. He came to bring forgiveness. I like that little picture. In the bin with the sin. Yes. In the bin with the sin. Right? And then I just have to read one little passage from Acts. It's a lovely passage. Peter was talking to some bunch of Gentiles. Cornelius and his family and friends had gathered to hear what Peter was going to tell them. Because an angel, another angel, had told him to come and ask Peter what it's all about. See? Peter left the tomb wondering what had happened, but when he went to Cornelius' house, he could tell them exactly what had happened, because the Lord had revealed it to him. And so, in verse 37 to 43, Peter says these things. If I can find it. It's Acts chapter 10, is it? Yes?
Yeah.
Right. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead and caused him to be seen on the third day, and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses from God, whom he had already chosen, by us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God has appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That's what Peter says. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness through his name. Because of who he is, what he's done, you put your trust in him, God will forgive your sins. And Peter couldn't say any more, because the Holy Spirit came down, And they all got it. The light bulb moment was there for them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, started praising the Lord. And Peter and his mates were totally stunned by what had happened. What was it they needed to hear was, he died, he rose again, and God will forgive you if you put your trust in what he's done and accept him as your Savior. They got it. Have you got it? Well, keep it. Good. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Jesus, your Son is alive. He's coming back. Lord, and that by your Holy Spirit, you can work in all of our lives, each one of us, individuals, wherever, whatever we're up to, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, that you care about each one of us, that you died for us. Lord, not just for the mass of the world, but for us individually, that our sin was placed on you. Thank you, Lord, it's amazing. Thank you, you're the God of miracles. Lord, you've done amazing things, and we give you praise. And Lord, just ask you will enable us to keep on trusting, keep believing, enable us to walk with Jesus, to know your Holy Spirit filling our lives, that we may love you and serve you and praise you for the great things you've done for us. Oh Lord, you've done great things, and we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.